Okay, so here we are going to learn pleasant mean and quick realization. And you have this, the fourth profitable direction, the pleasant way with quick realization. So I will go to the website for this one. And here, bhikkhu, a certain one, secluded from the sensual pressures, selected us from the unwholesome states, he enters and abides and in the first jhana, which is accompanied by initial application and sustained application. So for this initial application, sustained application, you are using this thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. For the thought of renunciation, you are looking at 32 parts of the body. And then when you analyze that one, then this excrement and so on, then your mind tend to get out of that one. So you go to the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous. So with the rapture, happiness, born of seclusion. And then you are happy with the rapture, but to have this rapture, you need to pay the price. Price is that you need to think that hair of the body, nails, teeth and so on. So then you keep that one in mind. So when you do that one, then with the subsiding of initial application and sustained application, he enters upon and abides in the second jhana, which has internal confidence and unification of mind. He is without initial application and sustained application and has rapture and happiness born of concentration. So there is this rapture, you are happy with the rapture, but the problem is, if there is rapture, you feel it physically. And if it feels physically, then you might get attached to that one. Having seen this danger, then you like not to have the rapture. So with the fading away, as well of rapture, he abides, equanimous and mindful, clearly comprehending, he experiences happiness with body. He enters upon and abides in third jhana, of which the noble ones declare he is equanimous and mindful, one who abides happy. Now in the third jhana, this pleasure is there. Now you think this pleasure is a temporary thing. The actuality is suffering. So the suffering that can come anytime, this pressure will cease. So then you get into the equanimity with the abandoning of pressure and pain, with the previous passing away of joy and displeasure. A bhikkhu enters upon and abides in the fourth jhana, which is neither painful nor pleasant, and includes purification of mindfulness due to equanimity. So here, you know, when you sit down on the chair, if that chair is painful, you feel like getting out and go. But if there is rapture, then you feel like staying. So from the rapture, pain is removed. And when you are going from the third jhana to fourth jhana, you get rid of pleasure. So that means you are abandoning pleasure and pain. And then previous passing away of joy and displeasure. The previous passing away of joy and displeasure means that, you know, if you are delighting from some sort of a gain, from a form or something, or you are delighting on a sort of a jhana attainment, then what will happen? You will be born over there. So what you need to do, that I should be taking that does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain only. The passing away phenomena. So then, you will not be born in that world. So that is the fourth jhana, which is stable. And this person is now abiding, relying on these five powers of a trainer, such as powers of faith, shame, remorse, effort and wisdom. The five faculties of faith, effort, mindfulness and concentration and wisdom are sharpened. So therefore he realizes the destruction of desires quickly with successive leading. Bhikkhu, to this is said, peace and means and quick realization. So Venerable Sariputta destroy cankers using this particular method. And it is called pleasant means and quick realization. Venerable Moggallana attained to, you know, destroy cankers the painful way with quick realization. Why it is painful way? Why this is pleasant? You see, compared to the feeling, that volitional formations are pleasurable. For example, a carpenter would be, you know, cutting down these wood pieces, and then his hands are aching and so on. So there is a pain. But carpenter likes his job, whatever thing he constructed. So then you can see volitional formations are pleasurable compared to the feeling. That's why it is, the other one is painful, this one is pleasurable. So when you do that one, then you are coming to this, this is the pleasant way with quick realization. Then you come to the fourth jhana. To come to the fourth jhana, you can actually see that in the previous meditation, remember we were saying that if it is impermanent, subject to suffering, and then is it befitting to regard as mine. So from this particular arrow also, you can come to the fourth jhana. And there is another way. Remember when you are doing the meditation, that this four nutriment suffering meditation, you did three meditations. Now there is a fourth meditation as well. This one is more powerful. How do you do that one? Physical nutriment. You spin with the barb of lust. You establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement. And then you got baby type body. And then it was subject to aging, sickness and death. After death, you are in the mind-main body. You have not eaten, so therefore this pain. So then for the first part, there are two answers, birth and pain. And this pain is the one getting contacted. But stupidly we are thinking it is pleasurable. So then you analyze that, how do I get this pleasure? You know, when you are going somewhere, when you see someone on the street, a beautiful person, then because of the contact, then pleasure comes to arise. Now, for you to have that pleasure sustained, then that person should be in the same post as before. And your eyes should be remaining as it is. So this one not going to happen. The other person will go away. Even if that person is there, that person is subject to aging. And your eye is subject to aging. So now you can see you cannot make the two of these things come in together, eye and the form. And a wise person would be thinking, if I can't meet two, then how can I make three things come together? What are the three things? The form, the eye, and the eye consciousness. Meeting of the three is contact. So I can't make these three comes together. It's like that you are going, and then on the right side, a beautiful woman is coming. And then left side, another one is coming. So you need to take from the right side to, you know, to the left side in that case, away from the first object. So wise person would be actually thinking, how can I make three things come together if I can't make two things come together, I and the form. So in other words, you are going to do an impossible task. Your volition is to do this impossible task. Then no, there is no doubt that you become sick if you try to do that. But what happens if you are keep on doing it? Then you, in other words, you are happy to keep on eating and your taste buds are gone. So there is this aging is there. So since the taste buds are not there, you don't get the same taste. So this sadness is there. So you don't get the same feeling. So answer to the second path is aging and sadness. So I said that you are trying to do something impossible, so you get sick. And therefore, get the sorrow as well. You see that one old person, like grandpa, he was actually telling me, son, I used to climb up the roof, and then I was fixing tiles as well, you know, when there is a problem in the roof. And today that grandfather, he can't actually walk, even he got need a stick. So if his house is broken, you know, that tiles are broken, then early days he think, oh, I climb up to the roof and then fix the roof and come down. Now today he can't go there, and even he wants to bring a person to house to fix this one, he can't even walk for that one. So he is sorrowing. So there are two answers to the third part, sickness and sorrow. Now this sick person is constructing consciousness. And then you can see it's a sort of a sick consciousness, and it will fall. The death can be there. An example would be, let us say her mom is sort of so sick and she is sleeping. Maybe 12 o'clock, her son, maybe 4-year-old boy, is coming around the bed. And then mom opened the eye and look at the baby boy. And then she says that this boy is actually coming because he does not have anything to eat. So mom is going to the kitchen and then eat up something and give it to the boy and then go to sleep again. And then boy is now playing with the food because father is asking why you are doing that one. And he is saying it is not tasty. So what happened was that mother could not taste that, whether the salt is there, lime is there, and so. And then so that is a sick person's work, and then you can see that the death is there. Therefore, this lamentation is there as well. So now you have come to 8 Dhamma parts on the bottom. Birth, age, sickness, death, pain, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation. Now if you come over here, you have come to the 4th jhana with a noble understanding. Let us say that you went over there, and so that is the 4th jhana, 4th meditation. And from that one, you are coming to the mindfulness regarding the doctrine. So he is mindful regarding suffering, arising of suffering, passing away of suffering. So mindfulness regarding doctrine has got 5 parts. And the first one is that, you know, the 5 hindrances meditation you did yesterday with the Vamika Sutta. In the 4 foundations of mindfulness, Buddha is saying that when the sensual desire come to arise, you should be aware that the sensual desire has come to arise. When it is present, you should properly know that it is present. When it is absent, you should know it is absent. And then you should know how the unarisen sensual desire come to arise, and the abandonment of sensual desire, as well as whatever sensual desire you abandon, how it is not coming in the future. That means you become an arahant, then you don't get this thing. So, and having said that one, Buddha asks you to contemplate arising and passing away phenomena. That particular part we don't do in this course. But remember that the first, today that we have in the second meditation, first diagram, Pindole diagram, that the Sata-Sata, enticing object and the pleasurable feet, you can use that diagram to do this meditation part. It is available on the internet, in our website. So the second meditation is that regarding those 5 aggregate subjects, clinging, that is matter, feeling, perception, original formation, and consciousness. You contemplate the arising and passing away phenomena. That is the second one, which you have done. All 3 days you have done it. And then the 4th meditation is about these spheres of perception. Here someone is know about the eye, and that person know about the form, and then that person is aware what is arising out of those two, There's the fetter. Fetters are the one that is arising. And one should know about the ear and the sound and what is arising depending on the two. So remember, yesterday we looked at Kotaliya Sutta. So we said that Buddha was telling that killing is a fetter. So now you are getting rid of those things. But that meditation is, quite deep. And we don't do that one over here. We have that part of it. We cover that part of the meditation in a special course. And then the fourth one is about this, the seven factors of enlightenment. So that one, I will tell you two discourses. There is a virtuous discourse, Sila Sutta in Vajjanga Samyutta. There Buddha is saying for a virtuous monk, it is befitting for him to go after an arahant and help an arahant, and all those things are worth. And why Buddha is saying that one, that arahant will tell this monk, some dhamma. And then having heard this dhamma, this monk going to a seclusion, and then he contemplate about it. So when he contemplate that dhamma part, the mindfulness come to arise. And then it is becoming fulfilled and so on. The develop mindfulness come to fulfillment. So that is the meditation that we did. All 4 days, isn't it? Take Dhamma parts and then we contemplate it, think it over. So that is the Buddhist meditation. So I got it from this Bhujjanga Sanghutta. Now, what is that monk is actually preaching? That is this the dependent origination. Because of existence, birth come to be. So then wise person will pick that one. So this person would investigate with wisdom. Then the factor of enlightenment, of investigation, come to arise. And then develop that one, and then come to fulfillment of that monk. And then when you are looking at the investigation part, there you see, because of the existence, the birth come to be. Birth is suffering. So if you are living in an area and it is suffering, then you feel like, let me get out of this one. You get some sort of an effort. So the enlightenment factor of effort come to arise, and then it come to fulfillment. Getting developed and fulfilled. And then, so you got three things: mindfulness, investigation, and then the effort. And then, if you have the effort arose within you, then you do not need to sort of think, let me have rapture. It is a law of Dhamma that rapture come to arise. So then the rapture comes to development and the fulfillment of this monk. So then, if there is rapture, you see that when you are sitting down on that chair, if it is painful, you feel like going out. But if there is rapture, then you are happy to stay here. So then you have the bodily tranquility. And then, why you are thinking about going outside? You think in this place that there must be a comfortable chair somewhere. So your mind is going outward. But if you are happy, then you are not looking for chairs. So therefore, mind will be inwardly composed. So then you get the mental tranquility as well. So bodily and mental tranquility. It's called Passaddhi in Pali. So the enlightenment factor of tranquility, getting developed, and then it comes to the fulfillment. And then the, you know, if your mind is still looking for chairs outside, then your mind is scattered. So then you don't get the happiness. Since the you are here and you are happy, then from the tranquility, you get this enlightenment factor of happiness. So from the happiness, you get the concentration. So the enlightenment factor of concentration arises, and then, you know, it is coming to development and fulfillment of this monk. And then, when there is concentration, let us say this is third jhana concentration, which is with pleasure. And then you are thinking this pleasure is sort of temporary thing. The actuality is that suffering. So this pleasure will cease and the suffering will come. Then you get the equanimity. So enlightenment factor of equanimity getting developed, and then it comes to the fulfillment. So this is called seven linking. You see, you got the mindfulness. From the mindfulness, you get the investigation. From the investigation, you get the effort. From the effort, you get the rapture. And then from the rapture, you get the tranquility, bodily and mental both. And then you get these, from the tranquility, you get the pleasure. Via pleasure, you get the concentration. And then from the concentration, you get the equanimity. So they are linked to each other. And then that those are the seven factors. And then there is another discourse, very short discourse. And Buddha is saying, if someone develops these enlightenment factors, then that person's craving will fade away, and the karma will fade away, and the craving and karma fading away, then he attained Nibbana. That's all it is said over there in the discourse, very short discourse. So the meaning of this one was told to me by Sambhati Mahaprabhu. He said that the person who is going into this fourth jhana, that there is something he does not know. He knows that arising phenomena, before the meditation, he did not have the fourth jhana, but he knows that after doing that one, I have the fourth jhana. And then what is that he does not know is that that this one is going to pass away. It is not lasting. That part he does not know. You know, this Alara Kalam, for example, went to higher jhana concentration. He thought, that's it. After this one, I will die and I will be born in that level. And I won't die. So, it would be really beneficial for a fourth jhana person to see that someone in the fourth jhana level pass away from that one, you know, falling from that. So if it is the case, then he won't be giving a value to the fourth jhana. Fourth jhana is a sort of mental construction. And a good example here would be a carpenter's example. You know, early days, carpenters are, you know, using very valuable wood pieces, and then they construct, you know, those cupboards and so on, and they are very proud about it. They are lasting, you know, your parents have passed away, but the wood piece, the almira and then those cupboards, they are remaining with you. So the carpenter is so proud, he has actually written his name inside the piece of wood, inside that almira. So then, let us say one day, then he sees that when he's going somewhere, that one of those almira done by his father or grandfather is broken and thrown out in the street. And then he understands, no, this is no point constructing these things because they are breaking. So previously, carpenter, when he is actually looking at a wood piece, he gets the smell of that one as well. He is thinking, I will be constructing, you know, like good table, good almira, that's cupboard or something like that. Now what the carpenter is saying, sir, there is no point constructing these things because they are, you know, breaking. So carpenter is not giving a value to the wood piece. Carpenter's wood piece is that the perception of the person who is going to attain to, you know, fourth jhana or above. Carpenter's construction consider as the mental, you know, chitta sanskara, mental volitional formations. That is, concentration is a mental volitional formation. So, like carpenter is not giving a value to percept the wood pieces, since these mental formations are breaking and falling, this person is not giving a value to the perception. So, from the perception, you give value to a feeling, and then you get the craving. Today you learn. And feeling is like a water bubble, it doesn't last. So if the perception value is a very small one, then you multiply the perception value and the feeling value, you can see the craving value is very, very small. In other words, the craving will fade away. And then, you know, from the perception, you get the volition. This is one of the knowledges of the Buddha. Buddha is saying, if someone is turning away from perception, then he is turning away from volition. If we are turning away from both perception and volition, then he is turning away from consciousness. If you are turning away from consciousness, then you are turning away from perception as well as the volition. And if you are turning away from three of them, that is the perception, volition and consciousness, then you are turning away from something called yathabhuta jnana, that is that seeing things really as it is. So if you are turning away from those four things, then you are turning away with liberation. If you are turning away with liberation, then you are turning away from perception, volition, consciousness, and then seeing things as really it is as well. So now you can see, if you are turning away from perception, you are turning away from volition. From the volition, you get karma. So then, karma will fade away. So by fading away from craving as well as the karma, one would attain nibbana. So that is that part. So whatever meditation you do, you don't exceed this carpenter's example. That's where you are. So, then the fourth one, the fifth meditation, is about the Four Noble Truth. So, the last one of that one is the Eightfold Path Meditation. So, you started with the Noble Eightfold Path Meditation on the first day. What we have been doing so far is the parts of it. So, now today we are going to complete that one with this meditation that we are going to do. Now all these the complete, that is mindfulness regarding the doctrine, and then the four foundations of mindfulness can be represented using three things. That is you know, wisdom of this Arahant Siddha Akanitta Brahmarela. So we probably, you can probably write it down, or you can mark in this diagram. You put number one to the physical neutron. This is number one. And then there is a bridge between this self and to the permanency. So this side is the self and that side is the permanency. Remember, we are from the conceit, vanity, we are making a bridge. So that particular bridge, so you draw a line from self to permanency and then put number two to that line, arrow. And then third, you can see there is this birth to aging. So if you do arrow from birth to aging and then put number 3 to that one, that is number 3. So let us start with 3. Then you are already subject to aging. Now what is going to happen to us next? What happened to grandma? Isn't it sickness and death? And if there is death, is there a permanency? There is no permanency. So in that case, then we are going to number 2. So this bridge is now broken. And then what I am holding as self in that case, that is number 1, physical neutron. Now as you can see, you could not live in the previous birth. You die and pass away, you got this one. And that one is already subject to aging. And what you get is sickness and death. So you can't live over here either. So in other words, remember that fruit example, Kotaliya Sutta. You can't live with the fruit. You can't live without the fruit. So in this particular instance, you throw away the fruit. Physical neutral. And then you are going to formless sphere attainment. Fifth jhana vaibhav. And that is what is mentioned next. You see, when you do the mindfulness regarding the doctrine. So you are looking at 1, 2 and 3. And then from the 3, these 1, 2 and 3 represent the whole foundation of mindfulness. So you start with the 3, come to the 2, then number 1, and then you throw out the this fruit, physical nutrient. They are, you are reaching the 4th avayadi, that the formless concentration. Arupa, Samapatya, Aninjavya. So when, before we reach there, you can mark this, the mindfulness regarding doctrine in this diagram. You see, there is an arrow, sense of shame to fear of wrongdoing. So on that line, you can write down mindfulness regarding doctrine. That is mindfulness regarding doctrine. So you see this gatha over here. The anger, untruth and doubts, these states arise merely because of the existence of this duality. Let a doubter train himself by way of knowledge path to understand these states by taught by recluse. This particular gatha is when you actually do that one, then you understand these volitional formations as impermanent, and then your doubt is eradicated, and then you are going to the higher wisdom over here, and then you are in this arupa dhyana, you know, the formless sphere attainments. So So this gatha we have written between the 4th abiding, we have written. So here, well, let a doubter train himself. So remember we learn about the train by higher morality. So what was the train by higher morality? That as a householder, you got to have 5 precepts. As a person following eightfold path, not only lying, you need to refrain from harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. And if you have a right livelihood, then you would have quite a lot virtue. The monk should have quite a lot virtue. So that is the higher morality. And trained by higher thought. So this is first, second, third, fourth jhana. That's where we started. Trained by higher wisdom. So that is this the wisdom of a person who attained. That is by arising and passing away phenomena contemplated, then you understood because of the existence, birth come to be something like that one, and then you got the wisdom. So there are 5 words we need to write down. So probably over here you can write down these 5 words. The first word is that resolve faith upon training. Resolve faith upon training. What is meant by resolve faith upon training? You know, there are various causes when you go to uni, they teach, you know, chemistry, physics, and so on, various courses. And then, you know, training college also, they are giving you training. And in the office also, they are saying, when you pass this course, we will give you the degree. So likewise, Buddha's dispensation also, there are these courses. It doesn't have that many courses, has got 10 things. If you pass that one, then you don't have to do any degree in any life. Then what is that 10 courses? Those are the 10 skill state of the life, the mind. You know that that you refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander, and then getting rid of wrong view, covetousness and ill will. Those are the 10 courses. So you need to just refrain from those things. So then you get the 10 skill states out of that one. Easy, isn't it? Let us say it is easy. Then, so that there, what is mean by resolve faith upon training? You are saying, I want to have these 10 skill states. When you are away from, you know, killing, stealing, then you get the skill states. And the second one that you have to write down is exerting energy upon them. Exerting energy upon them. What does that mean? Exerting energy upon them. Them means those 10 courses. Now let us say that you have a baby. And that baby is in a cot. And the baby is sleeping. So it's a good chance that you can go out and then, you know, you can cut down some sort of a vegetable tree or something. You know, take some vegetables and coming home from your garden. So you have something, you know, maybe knife or something to cut down these vegetables as well in your hand. When you come home and then you see around the cot that there's a snake and then pointing at the baby. So you have a knife, you can actually, you know, chop off. But if you do that one, what will happen? You fail, isn't it? Because that for any reason. Remember, when you say resolve upon faith, resolve faith upon training means that I am not going to kill. Now you can say it is very difficult, isn't it? Even the baby is dying from the snake bites, you don't have any right to kill the snake. So that is what it means, exerting energy upon them. I'm not going to kill. And that means I am going to pass the exam. And the third word is coming up. Establishing mindfulness upon them. Establishing mindfulness upon them. What does that mean? That means, let us say you are in a training college and then 9 o'clock your lecture starts. It is now 8:30. You are still on the bed and it is raining cats and dogs. So what do you do? You take the quilt cover and, you know, go underneath the quilt cover, or would you just get up and go? Although you are going to get wet, a person, wise person would be thinking, if I don't go, then I will fail the exam. So in other words, what is this mindfulness mean? That means it's not neglectful about the effort. You can write down that one as well. It's very valuable. Not neglectful about the effort. Not neglectful about the effort. And then there is this fourth word. It says concentrating cognizance upon them. Concentrating cognizance upon them. What is that mean? Okay, let us say for a second you think that consciousness is another person. Now you are saying, please come. Let us not do the killing. Please come. Let us not do stealing. So you concentrate your mind around not killing, not stealing. So with knowing or without knowing, you say this one every day. You know that I shall refrain from killing. And then what is that mean over there is I will concentrate my mind not to have this killing. So that is what is this concentrate cognizance. You know, if you are not having a concentration, then you might kill. You know, you might doing a mathematical sum over here, then a mosquito is there, and then, you know, and is coming and killing. So you get the concentration over there, I'm not going to do that. So there is this fifth word that is understanding them with wisdom. Understanding them with wisdom. So what does that mean? You know, then sometimes that students go into the uni, do the course for 2 years or so, and then they are saying, oh, this course is useless. It is hard for me to do. Even if I pass this one, I can't get a job. So then this person is saying, I'm going to give up this one and going to take another course. Now here this person is saying, no, it is not that chemistry, physics, mathematics, engineering I should do. What I should do is this, you know, this, I got to have the 10 skill states. Getting rid of this killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, you know, down to this, the wrong, getting rid of wrong view, ill will and covetousness. Whatever thing you do, bad things from the mind, and the words and the from the bodily, those actions you are going to remove so that you can have the 10 skill states. We have said this about this understanding them, which the wisdom has got very deeper meaning. And if you know Girimananda Sutra, Girimananda Sutra has got this 10 perception, the perception of impermanence, perception of not self and so on. And when you develop these 10 perceptions, then you get a sort of a bucket of knowledge. And with that understanding, you are looking at the individual perception. Remember, I was telling an example where you are actually going to see a grandma. Grandma is sick, and then people are saying that she did not get up from the bed for the last 2 years. And then you are thinking, oh, grandma is going to die over here on the bed. You're coming out of that room, and then someone is carrying a baby. Oh, baby. So you get this sign, you know, the beautiful and so on. So you didn't apply what you apply to grandma to the baby. Why? Because the grandma is dying, the baby is living. In other words, the permanency, because the baby is living, make you sort of looking at the baby as, you know, not as foul, not as a beauty thing. If the baby is putting, you know, vomiting or something, then you understand, this is also foul nature. So what I'm saying here, if you have developed this impermanency, not self and so on, and with that understanding, you are looking at that foul nature, then you actually see that one is foul nature. Because the impermanence is there, then like that baby's example, that you will be applying to impermanency to both the grandma as well as to the baby. So that is a deep understanding of this wisdom, understanding them with wisdom. Now we have said five words over here: resolve faith upon training, exerting energy upon them, establishing mindfulness upon them, concentrating cognizance upon them, and the understanding them with wisdom. What we have actually said over here, you see, there are five faculties. When we say result faith upon training, that is the faculty of faith. And the exerting energy upon them means that is the faculty of this energy. And the establishing mindfulness upon them means that faculty of mindfulness. Concentrating cognizance upon them means the concentration faculty. Understanding them wisdom means wisdom faculty. So how does this five faculties get developed? That is from the 10 skill states. Refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct and so on. Then you get the 10 skill states. And then your faculties of wisdom and so on will get developed. Now, when you do that one, then you are getting this fourth right endeavor. That is the fourth effort we discussed on the first day. He rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind, and strive to maintain wholesome mental states that have arisen, not to let them fade away, to bring them to greater growth, to the full perfection of development. In other words, that, in the third effort, we are saying, I want to have the faith of a stream mentor. So stream mentor, when he is in the attainment level, he is not regarding anything in the world as mine. So he got a vast mind. Because of that vast mind, one might get confused that this is the Nibbana. You know, the attainment is not the Nibbana, it is towards Nibbana. But this person understands that I need to maintain it so that I can go to the next level of attainment. So he is trying to maintain. And what is helping for this one, that we need to protect the path and fruit of attainment. For this one includes preservation. So the preservation here is that is samadhi nimitta, is in Pali. And let us say that in the case of that slave example, so you use that skeleton meditation or something so that you can get out of that state and then you go to jhana concentration. So when you go to the jhana concentration, if you think, it is the skeleton meditation that was allowing me, let us say you are in the fifth jhana, space is infinite. If you think that skeleton is the one letting me come over here, then if you think about the skeleton, you will be fallen. At that time, you change your, this sign that what I need is the Nibbana. So then you are protecting your path and fruits in that sense. Now, there is a problem over here, isn't it? I got that problem. What is the problem? Over here we were talking about five faculties. Faith, wisdom, mindfulness, concentration, and effort. Now when you come to over here, we are saying only the effort. So I asked Sambhati Mahabrahma, why is it that? And then he said that he was asking me this question, what would you do if your mother passed away when you are small? That's how he is actually teaching. You need to think quite a lot what he meant by that. So, what do you do if your mother passed away? Would you die or would you rather live? So, the mother passed away means that you are away from the form. You got rid of the form. Form is the mother. And then you are in the formless sphere. And then you are putting effort not to fall away from that one. So this effort is not something and stopping you in the middle. From the effort what you are actually going to get. I can tell you an example. When I was in the uni, in the hostel, there was a boy that was actually going to commerce lectures in the morning. in the afternoon, he is going to chartered classes, chartered accountants. And he is studying at night time, you know, to midnight and so on. And then having seen that one, I was telling him, well, you are putting so much effort, then you can get the best out of this life by doing those things. And then he said, yes, I will get the best out of this life. So when you say, you know, best out of this life and so on, and you are putting effort, what you are going to get? You are thinking about good food, a good car, you know, good house and so on. But that is what you are talking about four. But what is the best in the four? You know, sometimes people advertise these hotels as spacious room. So they are not saying, you know, this room is, you know, very small and it has got quite a lot of space. In other words, you can see the best in form is not having the form itself, because this, you know, the space is there. That is what we are actually selling. So then what space is infinite, there is a feeling. So what is the best in that one? Not having that feeling. So that is the consciousness is infinite. And the consciousness is infinite, there is this feeling. So what is the best out of that one? Not to have any perception about that feeling. I can tell you, one day I was meditating, I was in the sixth jhana, and all of a sudden my heart was sort of, for a millisecond or so, was aching. I didn't fall from that jhana, I was just keep on meditating. And then while I was meditating, time to time it was coming to my mind that after the meditation I might have to go to hospital. You see, the pain is not there, but the perception about the pain is there. So if you don't have those perception about the feeling, then that is the seventh jhana. What are we talking about? This is the meditation you just did, isn't it? So in the plane of nothing, there is this perception. And what is the best out of that one is not to have that perception. That is neither perception nor non-perception. Eighth jhana. And over there is this volitional formations. What is the best out of that one? The cessation of those volitional formations. So what we are talking about, Nibbana, is the best. So, in other words, you can see this effort over here is, it is not something that, you know, stopping you halfway through. It is totally taking you to the Nibbana. So, in other words, it's actually taking this effort, mindfulness, concentration, wisdom, all of them together. And then it's taking you to Nibbana. So when you do that one, then you come into the Noble Eightfold Path. But from where it is coming from? You see, so far we were saying, remember with those five words, we were saying we are taking these 10 skill states. That is what we are going to develop. And then we have effort and then we have Eightfold Path. So then there must be some connection between the 10 skill state of the mind to the Noble Eightfold Path. There is. That is what we are going to look at next. This one, you can see what I have on the left side is the unskilled states. Before we go to skill state, we go to the unskilled state. The wrong will, ill will, covetousness. And then we have this lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. Those are the verbal things and bad things you do. Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. The bad things you do from the body. They are linked to each other as well. From the wrong view, you get ill will. Wrong view, you get the covetousness. From the covetousness, you get stealing. From the wrong view, you get sexual misconduct. So, Then what we have over here is the wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, and wrong concentration. This is the wrong eightfold path, against the eightfold path that we are practicing. Are we actually going through this path? Normally people think, no, we don't. And actually this is the path you are following most of the time. Why are we saying that one? Because two things. One thing is that eightfold path you hear only when the Buddha appears. Otherwise you have this path. On the other hand, you know how long you are actually meditating for a day. Some people, zero. Some people, 30 minutes. When you do the meditation, that isn't that the first 30 minutes is the best in your meditation? After that, you lose concentration. Do you know that many people are attained to noble levels within the first 15 minutes of the meditation? So the first 15 minutes is very important. So for that one, you need to give your best shot. What is your best shot? It is in the morning, you know, after sleep. You are fresh in mind, then that's what you need to give. So you get up, you know, let us say you are getting up 6 o'clock now. Let us getting up at 5:30. And then if you are going to have a bath, oh, then have a bath, then have a cup of tea, then straight away you go to meditation. And don't talk to anybody in the house as well. The best thing is that while they are sleeping, you get up. Why are we saying that it is not to talk to them? When you talk, what they are saying, my this body is aching and this my son's problem and daughter's problem, those problems. So those verbal things actually coming and playing you that parts in the meditation. Mental rambling is there. If you don't talk, those verbal things are not there, then you are free, you can do the meditation. So you do the meditation for the first 15 minutes, you are good. And then second 15 minutes, then you remember, did I feed my dog? So what is that one? That means you are going to the wrong eightfold path. So this is the path that is sort of familiar to us. So now you can see from the wrong view, you are getting the delusion. And so the harming thoughts, wrong thoughts are there. Harming thought leads to delusion, delusion leads to harming thought. Sensual thought leads to lust, lust leads to sensual thought. Back and forth. Ill thought leads to hate, hate leads to ill thought. And the other one as well, harsh speech lead to hate, hate lead to harsh speech. So what do you have? What you have on the left side is that the 10 unskilled state of the mind, in the middle, the wrong eightfold path, and what you get out of it is that the lust, hate and delusion. So there is a good one for this one as well. So that is the one we are actually showing you next. So here, now we have right view. Instead of wrong view, then we have the right view. Then these are the 10 skill state of the mind. So you get the right view. And then non-ill will, non-covetousness, and refrain from lying, refrain from harsh speech, refrain from frivolous talk, refrain from slander, refrain from killing, refrain from stealing, refrain from sexual misconduct. You only need to refrain. You know, someone who's asking me, now I am not killing, what should I do? Should I feed an animal? That is not included. You know, Buddha does not feed anyone. You are feeding means you are actually creating a volitional formation. Now here we are talking about cessation of volitional formations, not to do anything like that. So, they are linked to each other as well. From the right view, non-ill will. From the right view, non-covetousness. From the non-covetousness, then you are refrained from stealing. From the right view, refrain from sexual misconduct. And then you can see from the right view, we get the non-delusion. From the non-ill, you get the non-hate. From the non-covetousness, you get the non-greed. If you are refraining from past faith, then you get the non-need. So similarly, there are errors over here. So Petapupadesa says that this right view and the right mindfulness in the Eightfold Path is stemming from the root non-delusion. Let us examine what is right view. Suffering. Suffering is created by craving, and that is the cause of suffering. And then the cessation of craving, you get the cessation of suffering. So in other words, there is arising and passing. Because of the craving, suffering come to be, cessation of craving, cessation of suffering. So there is the arising and passing. So that means you get the wisdom. And from the wisdom, you get the non-delusion. So then it is right. And when you come to the right mindfulness, it says such is form, such is arising of form, such is the passing phenomena of form. So there is the arising and passing of form. So then you get the wisdom. So then that is non-delusion. And then again it says in the Eightfold Path, right thought, right effort and right concentration. These three parts are stemming from the root non-greed. Let us examine it. Right thought is thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So the thought of renunciation is that I don't want this one, giving up, so that is non-greed. When it comes to the right effort, you are saying that you want to get rid of the sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. So if you don't want that one, then non-greed. And then the right concentration, aloof from the sensual pleasures, aloof from unskilled state of the mind, you abide in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous with initial application, sustained application. So what is initial application? Sustained application, that is the thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So that you are renouncing means non-greed. So again, it is right. And then this virtue part, right speech, right action, right livelihood, they are dependent on the non-hate. So then now you can see what you have on the left side is the 10 skill state of the mind. And then what you have in the middle, non-delusion, non-greed, non-hate. And then what you got out of that one is the Noble Eightfold Path. So for this one, you are saying to the left side, 10 skill state of the mind. So you have the faith, resolve faith upon training. You are saying, and these are the courses I should be doing, refraining part. And then it comes to the exerting energy upon them. You are saying, I am going to pass them. And when you are coming to the mindfulness, you are saying, I won't be neglectful. Pass in them. And then when you are saying concentrating cognizance, then your mind is concentrated not to have this, you know, wrong view and so on, and to have the right view, non-nihil and so on. And then when you are saying this understanding their wisdom, you are saying this is the course that I should be following, not chemistry, physics. So now you can see the connection between 10 skill states to the Eightfold Path. Then you can see, so you got the Eightfold Path out of that one with this effort. And then you are going to get this fourth determination. That is this highest determination for calm. Raga, dosa, moho, upasamo. So here you can see we come to the Eightfold Path through non-greed, non-hate, non-delusion. So, in other words, because of we came over there, it is lasting. This calmness we explained on the second day as well. That is this, you know, if there is a big rock and then the wind is flowing in various direction, it doesn't shake. So, likewise, greed, hate, delusion is coming. That is, those are the winds, and then it is not shaking. Or else, let us say you are in a fortress and then three enemies are trying to creep in. Then there are three guards guarding the entrances and they are not allowing anyone of them to come in. Who are trying to come? Greed, hate and delusion. If they come inside, then there will be fight. You know, the soldiers have to go to fight with them. If they are not, then there is this calmness. So from that one, then you are coming to concentration due to investigation. So here you see as impermanent suffering, not self sort of scenario. So when you have the concentration due to investigation, you know, to understand this one in the fortress example, just imagine there was some sort of a soldier, sort of thuggery soldier. So that particular person is now saying, you know, you should let them come. I will look after them. If they come, you know, I will kill them. But if you have the impermanency established within you, then you are not going to say that, because you know, although I am saying that one, this person, while he is actually entering from the door, at the time of entering the door, I might die. I won't be able to fight. So, since he understands the impermanent suffering. So, how do you get the suffering? How do you get the connection here? The connection here is that, you know, remember we were talking about this resolve faith upon training, five words you wrote down. Let us look at the other way around. If someone is killing, then, you know, death will occur. So if that is the case, would that person understand that death is suffering? Because he is killing and death is there, so therefore he cannot understand that death is suffering. If someone is stealing, that person would not understand birth as suffering. Why then that person is thinking it's okay to go to the mother's womb and steal the sperm? If someone is having sexual misconduct, that person would not understand the aging and sickness as suffering. Why? Remember, you did the greed, hate, delusion meditation and the greed path, you know, painfulness. In change is there. You establish consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement, constructed characteristic of arising, then what you get is the aging. So you don't understand aging. Similarly, you know, these sensual pleasures, you know, there's sexual misconduct, so therefore you are spinning with eight rounds and then you get sickness. So you would not understand sickness. But if you are not doing it, if you are not killing, then you would understand death as suffering. If you are not stealing, then you would understand birth as suffering. If you are not having sexual misconduct, then you would understand aging and sickness as suffering. So now you can see the 10 skill states, therefore it is actually linking for you to understand the suffering nature, birth, aging, sickness, death. Actually, the 10 unskilled states of the mind can be mapped this way to the 12 suffering parts. Just remember for the moment, only the first three. So this concentration due to investigation has got Vimansa Samadhi has got two enemies. Their enemies are the conceit, and then the other enemy is the avijja, that is this ignorance. Those are the two enemies. So to get rid of that, those two enemies, that we are going to this relinquishment of all. Before we reach there, I will tell you something here. You know, sometimes people are saying that I am not going to kill. But when they are sleeping, they take this iron rod, put underneath the bed. So if a robber is coming, then I will, you know, use this. So that means iron rod has not been laid down. It is there with you. So it's just saying that I am not going to kill wouldn't be enough. You must have laid down this iron rod. So if you do that one, then you understand suffering part. Otherwise, it is not. And then to get rid of those two enemies, you have something called Sabbanisak, relinquishment of all. What is it? That the all means, some people think it is chemistry, physics, mathematics joining together, all of them. No, it is not. It is the eye and the sight objects, ear and the sound object. So you can see you have eye, ear, nose, thumb, body and the mind, six. And then form, you know, that the whatever the sounds you hear, those are the 12 things. And there is a discourse called all. Buddha is saying, if someone is saying, I will throw out this 12 and then I will say, define another all, then if a question is raised, he can't even answer. So, here also, remember I said that you need to put down the iron rod, not underneath your bed. Similarly, you need to, you know, put down your eye as well. You know, we are actually keeping our eye for what? We want eye to see, ear to hear. You know, that we are actually making it that way. So you need to put that one like you are putting down the rod. You should be thinking, I am not going to use these things to, you know, grab sign and features. That is why this eye and eyesight sort of scenario here. Otherwise, we are not restraining and do that one. So, when we are talking about the relinquishment of all, this is something coming under that what is called Sukhabhagiya Dhamma. And it has got four things. This is one of them. In the first, you know, remember that painful way with slow realization. So, what is the ninth term? Restraining of faculties. If you are restraining faculties, you are not going to look at the form. So then the consciousness cannot, you know, become steady on the form. So in other words, the consciousness will lose the first house, that was the form. And then the second, patipada, that is the painful way with quick realization. What you have is those iddhi, four spiritual powers. So if you have four spiritual powers, you are not reacting to the feeling. So in that case, the consciousness cannot steady on the feeling. So the consciousness lost the second house, that is the feeling. And then the third one that you have not studied, that is the pleasant way with slow realization. And what it has got for the ninth term is the seven factors of enlightenment. You learn the carpenter's example. So carpenter is not giving a value to the wood pieces. In other words, because of the equanimity, this person is not giving value to the perception. So then the consciousness will lose the fourth house, the third house, that is the perception. So now what is left? That is the fourth house. What is the fourth house? Volitional formations. So here we are actually giving up volitional formations. If you have given up, then what is left? You know, that in that fortress example, if you are not letting anyone come inside the fortress, then what do you need to protect? You know, the people inside that one, isn't it? Volitional formations of those inside the fortress. Now just imagine, then you have this dog poo in your garden. And if it is there, would you sort of have a big parapet wall and a big gate and then put a guard and then you protect it? You would. So now you can understand what is inside the fortress. We learn this is excrement, urine, saliva and all those things, nothing else. So then if you understand that one, then you understand there is nothing to protect. So then you go out of your fortress. Then inside also the excrement, outside also the excrement is no difference. So then you go to the measure state of equanimity. You can't go to the measure state of equanimity because we are actually holding inside the fortress that thinking, this excrement thing inside, you know, our body, saliva and all those things, is you think it is worth holding. If someone says to an arahant who has destroyed cankers, I will kill you, they said, okay, go ahead. Because they understand there is nothing to protect over here. If someone is chopping off, you know, the dog's poo, would you care? You know, when you understand this body is like that one, then you don't. So you can go to the measure state of equanimity. Now, how do you do this meditation? So it looks like it is a bit difficult, isn't it? But it is not. Just imagine from one meditation, if you can come to the first, second, third and fourth one, then it is easy, isn't it? So that is the meditation I was talking about. So that meditation is this one. So physical nidraman, this is the meditation, physical nidraman, you spin with the barb of lust. You establish your consciousness in a canal of urine and excrement, so that is going bad way through. By doing that one, you got birth. And then you got the aging, sickness, death. After death, you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten for many days, many years, that is pain. So answer to the first one is the birth and pain. And then pain is the one getting contacted. Then stupidly we are thinking it is pleasurable. So that's just analyze it. That is the important part in that part of the meditation. How do I get pleasure? When I go, if I see a beautiful person, and because of that person, I might get pleasure. But then, that particular person should be in the same posture for you to have that pleasure. That it don't happen. That person will go away, even if that person is there. That person is subject to aging. And your eye is subject to aging. So you can't meet the two. If you can't make the, that means I and the form. If you can't make two things come together, how can I make three things come together? That is the I consciousness. So this wise person understand that form. So then having understood that one, you can see that if you are trying to do that one, you are, if you have volition, then you get sick. And if you keep on doing, what will happen? If you are eating something and you are subject to aging and your taste buds are gone, then you don't get the same feelings of the sadness. So the answer to the second column is aging and sadness. And you are trying to do something you cannot do, so you get sickness. Therefore, you are like a grandfather, you sorrow. From the sick volitional formation, you construct consciousness and they are subject to death. And then therefore these lamentations. So you have come up to eight terms over here on the bottom. And you have come to the fourth jhana with a noble understanding. So now you can use that one, physical nutriment, two, self to perception, three, birth to aging. So you start with this number three. You are already subject to aging. Now what can you do? You get, what you get is sickness and death. If you are dying, then is there is permanence. So there is no permanence. So in that case, the number two, this one is broken. So what I am holding as self? The physical neutral. So now you understand you could not live in the previous birth. That's why you got this one. Now I can't live from this one because it's already subject to aging. I will meet death. So then you throw out the physical neutron. Then you are going to formless sphere. Space is infinite. Easy, it is, isn't it? So you can see those are the four things that you need in the meditation. Then you read fourth jhana and use 1, 2, 3. That is the one mindfulness. And then you throw out the form. Then you come to the fourth abiding, formless sphere, concentration. And when you reach that one, then you wrote down 5 words. You remember that one. You know that the resolve, faith, tapun, training and so on. Now, when you do that one, then you come to this forthright endeavor that here you are trying to maintain your wholesome mental states that have arisen. So for that one, you can easily remember that example I gave. You know, they advertise hotels in spacious room. In other words, what is the best in a form is not having the form. That is space is infinite. What is best in the space is infinite. There is this feeling associated with the space is infinite. That is not to have that one. That is consciousness is infinite. In consciousness is infinite also there is a feeling. What is best out of that one? And not to have any perception about the feeling. That is the plane of nothing. Seventh jhana. And in the seventh jhana, there is this perception. What is best out of that one? That is this neither perception nor perception. That is the eighth jhana. In the eighth jhana, there is this volitional formations. What is the best in that one? That not to have volitional formation at all. That is this nibbana. So this one is not stopping in the middle. It is taking you to the nibbana. And then we learn the connection between 10 skill state of the mind to eightfold path. You do not need to meditate upon that one over here. You can do that one at home, very powerful meditation. You understand the connection. So we come to the eightfold path through non-greed, non-hate and non-delusion. Then it is lasting. So that is the highest determination for calm. Now easy to remember this one. Fortress example. No one is coming in, then there is calmness. And from that one, you get the concentration due to investigation. Now you see it is suffering. How do you see the suffering part? If you are killing, you don't understand that death has suffering because you are killing. That means you are appreciating it. And if you are not doing it, then you understand death has suffering. If you are stealing, you wouldn't understand the birth as suffering. If you are not doing it, then you see birth as suffering. And if you are having sexual misconduct, you would not understand aging and sickness as suffering. If you are not doing it, then you understand. Then you can see, when you have the 10 skill states, you understand birth, aging, sickness, death. Actually, the first noble truth completely. So then you understand suffering. So, this concentration due to investigation, now you can see that, you know, that Thagari soldier's example I gave, that he is not thinking, you know, that way. I am impermanent. So, now, concentration due to investigation has got two enemies. And then I want to get rid of those two enemies. What are they? Conceit and the ignorance. So, to get rid of that one, we use relinquishment of all. And you might be remember concentration due to investigation, that iron rod example. Although you are saying, I'm not killing, you should not have the iron bomb underneath your bed to you know, hit a robber or something. What must be laid down? So get rid of the all the enemies, you need to use the all four here. So in the first Patipada, the painful wave is slow realization. You get the controlling of the faculties. Then if you are controlling the faculties, you are not going to look at the form. So consciousness will do the first house. And then in the second one, these four spiritual powers are there. And therefore you are not letting the reacting to the feeling. Then therefore consciousness cannot stand on this feeling. So the second house is lost. And the third one, we have the seven factors of enlightenment. Because of the equanimity, you are not giving value to the perception. So then the third house is lost. third house of the consciousness. So what is left here is that volitional formation. So now we are removing the volitional formations as well. So it is like this one, you know, that let us say if you ask a carpenter to have some sort of a window in your kitchen area because it's dark or something, then he would use these tools and cut down the wall. You know how to cut down the wall as well, you know, Vammika Sutta, the extreme one, outside is not mine, you know, starting from that one, removing the whole vehicle. So it's like that what we were doing, we took that form, remove the feeling part, remove the perception and remove the volitional formation. So then it is left with, it's a sort of a tiny little frame. And then you can, even from the finger, you can break it. So if you understand what is inside the fortress is just excrement, urine and those sort of thing, then you think, oh well, it is not worth protecting with a, you know, this like a fortress. So then it is outside is the same as inside. So you go into the measure state of equanimity. So like life, you are spreading the loving kindness, you have the equanimity for every object, everyone you see. So that is the meditation. So let us have a discussion and then we will do the meditation.